Waiting. We are all very familiar with it. Think of how many times in our lives we wait. We wait in line, like in the lunch line, or in the drive-thru, or we wait in traffic. We wait for our cell phones or computers to connect to the Wi-Fi. We wait for the bell. Waiting can be agonizing, like waiting for medical test results, or waiting while a loved one undergoes surgery. Waiting can be exciting, like a child waiting for Christmas morning, or expectant parents waiting for a newborn. Yesterday, we began the season of Advent in our church year. During Advent, which means coming, we spend time preparing our hearts for the celebration of Christ's birth, waiting for his coming. But perhaps there has been no form of waiting that has held so much promise, so much hope, no doubt so much wondering whether it would really finally happen than the waiting of God's people for the promised Savior. During this season, we often hear many Old Testament prophecies which the Jews, God's chosen people, clung to in anticipation of their Savior. Perhaps one of the most well-known prophecies of that promised Savior is the prophecy that is quoted by the Apostle Matthew in his Gospel. This morning, we will take a look at that prophecy given and fulfilled. We will hear the beautiful name of our Savior mentioned in it, Emmanuel, God with us, the name which you see every day on the wall behind me. We read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, what a name for our Savior. Loaded with meaning, first given as a prophecy to the people of Judah, a name that has so much meaning for each one of us, a name we will hear often during the weeks of Advent and the subsequent Christmas celebration. Let's set the scene of our text. Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, had just found out that his future wife was pregnant. Thoughts were no doubt swirling through his mind as he tried to understand what had happened. He had, however, made up his mind to quietly, without public knowledge, end their betrothal and not publicly shame and ridicule Mary. However, as he was considering this, an angel appeared to him and spoke the words of our text. These words put to rest his doubts and were a profound and amazing revelation regarding the child that his betrothed now carried. The angel explained to Joseph that the child conceived in her was not conceived by normal biological means, but by the Holy Spirit, making this conception a miracle. This child would also be called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. What a revelation to Joseph. Not only was Joseph assured that Mary had not been unfaithful to him because her child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but that also meant that her son would indeed be the promised Messiah of old. In fact, Joseph may have called to mind that very promise of Isaiah, which Matthew, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records. This prophecy explained that Mary and the baby she was carrying was the very fulfillment of that prophecy. Mary was the virgin, and more importantly, the son that would be born to her was the long-promised Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. The wait was over. This prophecy was first recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you will weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The sign was simple, but miraculous. A virgin would conceive a child, therefore making this a miracle of God. But this child would not be just a normal child. He would be Emmanuel, meaning, as Matthew states, God with us. That sign, although it was first given in connection with an earthly kingdom, would have another, much greater significance for God's chosen people and for the whole world. Emmanuel would set free a world caught in the bondage of sin and establish a spiritual kingdom for eternity. He would, by his perfect holy life among us and his innocent sacrificial death on the cross, free us from sin, death, and the devil. And so the people of Judah, the Jews, God's chosen people, waited for that sign and all the other prophecies of the coming Messiah to be fulfilled. Back to Joseph. For him, and for the Jews of his day, the prophecy was fulfilled. Emmanuel was now with them. It meant that the long-awaited Messiah had finally come. It meant that the enemies of God would not be able to stand, as Isaiah's prophecy said, that the deliverance of spiritual Israel would be assured. Later in chapter 8 of Isaiah, we hear of this. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. As we prepare our hearts for the celebration of the coming of Jesus, we are also comforted that the prophecy is fulfilled for us also, that God is with us as well. He came in human form to be our brother, to live with us, even though we rejected him and went our own way. He came to be born as one of us, to feel our pain, our suffering, even our temptations, and then to take it all on himself as a sacrifice for the payment of our sins. He humbled himself, came down to our level, became a servant, became Emmanuel. God became one with mankind so that mankind could become one with him. Yes, the prophecy of Emmanuel fulfilled means that God will be with us eternally, but it also means that he is our Emmanuel each day on this earth. The Holy Spirit brought us to faith and brings God to us by faith. Now, that comfort of our sins atoned by Jesus and the presence of the God-man, God with us, permeates each day. It gives purpose to our days, our work and our callings, and to our struggles and trials. With Jesus with us, we live our days to glorify him. Paul tells us in Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We know that he is with us always, strengthening us and building us up when we are weak, when we have those days where we feel worn down by our anxieties, failures, and temptations. As Paul says in Philippians, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So as we begin the season of Advent, let us be encouraged by Isaiah's prophecy of old, of the coming Emmanuel. We have the great blessing of seeing that prophecy fulfilled, of seeing the results of Emmanuel's coming. May we always know and be assured that although the enemies of our soul, God's enemies, may strive against us, that all their efforts will come to nothing, will not stand, for God is with us. And now that the prophecy is fulfilled, that Emmanuel did come to us and is still with us, we have some more waiting to do, don't we? This waiting is not the frustrating kind, or the agonizing kind, or even the kind that waits expectantly for some earthly happiness. No, this waiting is for the sure expectation of eternal life. This waiting is the waiting for him to come again in all his glory, to take us out of this veil of tears, this world of sin, pain, and death, to be with himself in heaven. There we will be with him, our Emmanuel, forever. Amen. We'll sing of our Emmanuel in hymn 62, verses 1 and 2. Hymn 62, verses 1 and 2.